We're looking at Matthew chapter 6 today. You want to turn there with me? Before we get started, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the day that you provided for us and so grateful for those who have come to your house today. I pray, Father, that as we consider your word this morning, that you would speak to our hearts. The message, Lord, that you would have us to know today and help us, God, to apply that to our lives. Father, you have a word and a message for each one that's here today. It may be a different message for one than it is the other, but we believe, Lord, that because you're here present with us, Lord, that your Spirit will speak. We're grateful, Lord, for the ladies we saw standing here before us this morning. What a blessing that is. Father, I pray over their families. You would bless them and meet their needs. Draw them ever so close to you. Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper at the end of this message, God, I pray that you would help us to realize the sacrifice indeed that you made for us on the cross. Lord, we are grateful for this time that we have. Help us, Lord, to focus upon your word. Listen for your voice this morning. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about facing your fears. And last week, we discussed what to do when we're discouraged. If you didn't get to hear those messages, they're on the website. We have a website, by the way. It's fbclex.com. I like to throw that out every once in a while because not everybody knows that. But this week, I want to talk to you about something we can't talk about enough, and that is the fact that God told us not to worry. You ever worry about stuff? What are you worried about this morning? I used to work with a lady in Memphis that she would say, oh, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. She'd say she's just concerned. Well, really, a lot of times I think her concern was actually what? It was worry. It was worry. Corrie ten Boom used to say, worry is an old man with bended head carrying a load of feathers which he thinks are lead. And that's what worry is. It's being anxious about something that doesn't exist, in fact, but we believe it does exist or it might exist, and so we worry about it. Word worry was translated in the Bible, means to have a divided mind. In other words, your mind is divided between legitimate thoughts, things that matter, and thoughts which are not legitimate or things that don't matter. Worry cannot change or control the future. Can it? It might change us. It makes our hair grayer and our maybe fall out more. Or it makes us sick or does other things to us, but it doesn't control the future. It doesn't change things, and Jesus said we should not worry. A couple of things from the start, though, the preface, you might say. To not worry doesn't mean we shouldn't make plans. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't make plans about tomorrow. Scripture teaches us to be responsible, right? We're to be responsible. It also doesn't mean that we're not to ever be concerned about anything. Obviously, if we know something's coming up, we should make preparations. If I know my boss is coming to see me tomorrow and he wants to talk about the budget, I'm not going to wait till he gets there to get ready for him, right? I'm going to have it laid out the best I can to present my argument to him. And obviously today, some people think that preachers just get up here and flop their Bible open and start preaching. That's not it at all. Yeah, you have to study, you have to prepare, you have to get ready. But there's a difference between being prepared and then worrying about it, right? I couldn't worry about this morning Now, I might worry if I don't feel like I had enough time to prepare. I might be concerned, right? But actually, it's the Lord that I have to depend on up here. And it's the Lord that you have to depend on and put your trust in for, with your day-to-day activities. That's how you're able to handle things and not worry about it. But we shouldn't let worry get to the point where it makes us sick. Somebody's, you know, the phrase, well, I just worried myself sick, or she just worried herself sick. There's plenty of things in life to be concerned about, is there not? It's morality and spirituality and practicality and the election that's coming up in a few weeks, and heaven knows what's going to turn out with that, right? Lots of things in the world events and so forth to be concerned about. But worrying is not the same thing as being concerned. What Jesus really means is not to get so enamored with worry that you have no control over it and you actually paralyze yourself and you're no good to anybody, especially those that depend on you. So let's consider Jesus' teaching this morning about this subject of worry. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Of course, chapters 5, 6, and 7 is what we call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is right in the middle. But verse 25 of chapter 6 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious or worried about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what your body, about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." And here it is, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious of itself. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble," right? There's enough trouble today. Why add to it what you might think will happen tomorrow? And so Jesus is teaching that, these things about worry. And of course, everywhere the text says food, drink, or clothing, you can insert anything else that you might be worried about, right? Most of us are probably blessed with something to wear and something to drink and something to eat. Don't be thinking, by the way, about lunch right now. Just put that out of your mind right now. Just put that out of your mind. Now that I've said that, you're still going to keep wondering, what are we going to have for lunch today? ADD people do that, you know. They start thinking about this and that. It's bad when a preacher's like that, though, because he gets off on rabbit trails tremendous. So the first thing this morning we should know about worry is that worry is a slave driver that never pays off. Worry is a slave driver that never pays off. Why? It is first, it's inconsistent with God's word. Doesn't make sense that God did the big job of creating us, our bodies, our lives, and fail to do the smaller thing of making sure that we have what we need to live, right? Verse 25 tells us not to worry about what we'll eat or what we'll wear or whether we'll have sufficient shelter or not. When we worry about whether we'll have food, clothing, or shelter, we're not really trusting God, are we? Do you have Christ in you today? Are you saved? Are you trusted him with your salvation, right? That's a big thing, right? Our salvation, that's a huge thing. We trust Jesus with that. We ask Him to come into our heart and life, give our lives to Him, surrender our lives to Him for salvation. But God, I don't know if you're going to take care of this problem I got. Right? Why wouldn't He? If He's done the big thing, why wouldn't He do the smaller things? Of course He will. Another thing about worry is that it causes us to think irrationally or think wrongly. Irrational thinking is silly thinking. It's silly thinking. Verse 26 said, "Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than a bird?" In other words, if God provides for something as simple as a bird, do you not think that He'll take care of you? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Sparrows are cheap, aren't they? We'll sell you two for a penny. But wait, if you call now, we'll throw in a third bird for the same price. That's supposed to be funny. We'll double your order. All you have to pay is separate shipping, right? That's how they always get you, isn't it? You don't have to pay for the second thing, but you got to pay $50 to ship it. Something like that. Well, it's not with birds, evidently. Sparrows. But the thing of it is, let's think about this. If tiny things like sparrows and how many hairs are on your head are under the watchful eye of God, do you not think that He'll care for you? Right? Of course He will. Another thing about worry that we've discussed is worry won't change anything. It won't change anything. Verse 27, "Ask which of us by worrying can add any height to our stature?" The answer is worrying doesn't make any difference. Doesn't change anything. This scripture right here is something that I have to remind myself of often. I can't alter certain things by sitting and worrying about it. I can't change those things. But God can change those things. If God's concerned about the small things and the big things, God is concerned about all things, is He not? And He can take care of those things if I'll just put those back in His hands, because I can't do about anything about it anyway, right? And I'm sure don't need to worry about it, because that's not going to change anything either. I'm sure Jesus had a deeper meaning here, as often He did, such as, "Who of you by worrying can make his life any longer?" It's been discovered by medical science that worry, stress, and anger can shorten your life. I don't know about you, but I know some people that are not going to live very long, right? Because they worry, stress out, and they get angry. I used to be worse about that when I was younger, stressing out, just get frantic about things, stress out. It was more of an internal thing than what I showed on the outside, but I just stress over this, stress over that. But I could not do anything about it. It just got me upset, and that's probably the reason why now I have blood pressure issues and stomach issues and all these other kinds of things, is because of all of that. Worry doesn't change tomorrow, but it sure changes today, because it robs you of your strength and ability to enjoy the gift of life that God gave you today, right? Another thing about worry, it's illogical. Verses 28 through 30, Jesus turns to nature. He says, "Consider the lilies. They do nothing to clothe themselves. They don't work at all." But it says, "Yet Solomon, You know that guy, don't you? From the Old Testament, Solomon had all the wealth, all the stuff. I mean, he's the richest man ever. And he clothed himself with the finest of everything possible, everything money could buy. But God said not even Solomon could clothe himself like the lilies of the field. Isn't that something? So it's completely illogical that God would clothe the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow. Those flowers, for instance, are pretty today, Beth. But they'll die, won't they? They're dying right now. The minute they were cut, they started dying, right? You stick them in water and you try to make them last a little bit longer. But the point is, if God made those flowers beautiful, and He did, that are here today and gone tomorrow, they won't be here next Sunday, right? They'll be in the trash. They'll be in the trash in the next day or two, probably. But if He did that, why do you not think that He would care for you, right? Why do you not think that God would supply what you need? Worry, again, also, worry, as the Scripture tells us, is something that the unsaved do, those that don't know Jesus. Verse 31 said, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." In actuality, all non-Jewish people are Gentiles. So if you're sitting here today, you're a Gentile, unless you're Jewish, right? You're either Jewish or you're a Gentile. But in biblical days, a Gentile was a pagan who worshipped wood or stone or some kind of idol, or they worshipped nothing at all. Are there pagans today? Yes, right? But are there saved Gentiles today? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Gentiles who worship idols, they had plenty to worry about concerning their future. As is today, that people that don't know Jesus have plenty to worry about because they don't know Jesus. The biggest thing is, what's going to happen to me when I die? There's a worry for someone who doesn't know Jesus, right? What's going to happen to me when I die? They don't know that they can trust Jesus as Savior and have a home in heaven one day. And we don't have to worry about that anymore, right? They've got plenty to worry about now. Jesus told us that to worry is something that the unsaved do. But you and I, as a born-again Christian, should not worry that God will take care of all of our needs. And you saying, "Man, I've got a need right now, and I've had it for a long time, and God hadn't done nothing about it yet." Well, are you trusting Him for it, for one thing, or are you being faithful about it in the meantime? I found out that God doesn't always supply my need when I want Him to, right? And sometimes we say, "God, why don't you hurry up?" We're impatient, aren't we? "God, hurry up. Don't you understand, God, that I need..." Of course He does, right? He does understand us. Now, we're talking about worry or being concerned, as my friend in Memphis said. That doesn't mean that you and I won't have momentary worries, right? Like something hits us broadside and we start wondering how we're going to deal with it. And I tell you, if you've raised kids, you have momentary worries, don't you? Especially when they get to be teenagers. They go out, you wonder when they're coming back, or if they're coming back, who are they with, all these kinds of things. I wish they'd had these iPhones back when my kids were teenagers. I would track that thing, and I'd want to know where they're at all the time, bless God, right? And teenagers, they don't know. Drive them crazy. At least I'd know, right? What's she doing over here? Who lives in that house? All this kind of thing. I'm going to drive over there and see whose cars are sitting around. It probably would have drove me crazy, right? Maybe it's better that we don't know everything, right? We don't need to know everything. But worry should only be momentary for the Christian and not a constant companion. You hear me? Not a constant companion. The passage is not a rebuke of the Lord, because notice how he concludes this section. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. God knows what we need, right? Right? Don't worry, because God knows what you need in order to make it. He knows what you need in order to make it. He knows that a liability of living in a fallen world is to worry about things. But in the next couple of verses, he tells us how to fight worry. How do you fight worry? How do you keep from worrying so much? Well, first off, we need to get our priorities straight, right? Much of the worry that destroys people, as we said earlier, is a divided heart. A divided heart cannot decide what it believes and therefore how it's going to live. Jesus said to focus on only one thing in life, and that is the kingdom of God and the values that go with it. He said in verse 33, he said, seek first God's kingdom. What does that mean? Seek him first. That means make him first, right? Make him first. I put this sticker on the back of my truck out there, if you haven't seen it, up on the window. It says, I am second. Christ is first, right? I'm second. I want to make God a priority in my life, right? That's what you want to do, is make him a priority. I love my wife, but she knows that she's second to God. That sounds strange? Because here's the thing, here's what she knows. She knows that if God is first priority in my life, I'm going to take care of her, right? I'm going to take good care of her. So men, we need to make God a priority in our life to help us at home. Listen to me. If Susie was sitting here right now, she'd be cheering. Yes! Jesus said to focus on this. In other words, your priority as a Christian is first in the kingdom of God. If we've got that priority correct, then everything else we will do in light of that, everything else will line up with Christ. Everything that we do, if we've got God first, everything out there, my job, you're this, you're that, whatever it is that you have to do through the week, if God is your priority, then those things will line up. He promised that in his word. He says, if you'll make God first, he says, all these things will be added unto you. Isn't that what that says? Be added unto you. And so the kingdom of God is priority one. If you conclude that God is the most important thing, then you are ready to make a clean break from worry. Jesus promised us that if we'll make God priority one, he'll take care of all of the rest. God first, get that priority first, and then everything else will go. Now, it might not always seem like everything just perfectly lines up, but remember, you're not living in a perfect world, right? And things, it's hard to get things to line up perfectly in this imperfect world. But I'm telling you, if God is the priority, he'll help us deal with all those things out there. Well, we get our priority right, but we also, in order to deal with worry, is get a plan. Verse 34 says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So in other words, don't dwell on tomorrow. Many people, saved and unsaved, for instance, know the Lord's Prayer by heart. Give us this, and what it says here, part of it, is give us this day our daily bread. You ever think about that? God, give me today what I need to make it today. It doesn't say, in Jesus' example of prayer here, God give us what we'll always need forever and ever. Amen, does it? It says, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, God will provide what you need for today. I love this, what Jesus said there at the end. Sufficient for the day. Is there's enough trouble in today, right? There's enough things to worry about today. Why are you thinking about tomorrow and all these things? And again, I'm not saying don't be responsible. Don't make any plans for tomorrow or next week or retirement or any of these other things that's called responsibility, right? We got to find that middle ground there where we're not worrying about it, but we have plans in place. Make sense? Plan. Now, it also means don't dwell on yesterday. Don't think about yesterday's sin, for instance. Some of us beat ourselves up about the same sin over and over again. We think about something that we did months ago or even years ago and continually to beat ourselves up over that. And many people, for instance, who come out of a life stained with sin have a hard time accepting the fact that Jesus forgives, right? Jesus forgives, and we need to put those sins behind us because Jesus has already forgiven us for those sins. In Psalm 103 and verse 12, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Praise the Lord, right? So allow God to seal us off from those sins of the past. And then don't dwell on yesterday's successes. What's that mean? Well, it's okay to reminisce about the past, right? We always call them the good old days, right? I remember back in the good old days. But some people have a hard time worrying with, for instance, career or other successes in life that they used to have. And they're longing so much for it again, for it to happen again. I've been told here in this church, man, I remember. Of course, now, see, I get excited when we break 40 in Sunday school. We had 42 this morning. Amen. That's good. Better than 25. But then someone will say, you know what? I remember back in the day, we'd have 200 in Sunday school. Some of you guys remember that, don't you? We had 200. And then they say, yeah, we used to have all these young people. Said it'd fill up this whole side over here, young people. And full house on Sundays. Should we stay back there and dwell on that? It's nice to reminisce about that, right? Can God do that again? He can do that again. But are we going to worry about it? We can't be worried about it, really. We got to pray about it. Do what we can to further God's kingdom from this church, right? Do what we can, but then leave the results to Him. It's all about Him. Now, also, don't worry about yesterday's sorrows. We might deal okay with putting aside yesterday's sin and yesterday's so-called good old days, but we have trouble getting over a sorrow. Sorrow just continues to linger there, it seems. After a tragedy or heartache from the past, it's hard to it's hard for some just to seal that off and move on. But we've got to learn to live in the presence of Almighty God. You see, God knew a greater sorrow than we've ever known. Because you see, it was God that sent His only Son to the cross to die for your sins. God gave up His Son to go to the cross for our sins. To go there to die for people who were sinful and undeserving of His love, right? That's all of us. That's all of us. We can't deny that we're sorrowful over something that happened to us in the past. But we can't let that control us, right? I can be sorrowful, for instance, over my parents passing, different things like that. Excuse me. But I can't live in that, you see. I can't live there. I can't let that control me. Or anything else for that matter. It's there. It happened. It happened in the past. We may not be able to forget it, but we don't let it control us. Exodus 3:14, God said, "I am the great I am." He didn't say He's the great I was, did He? He didn't say He's the great I will be one day. He said, "I am." And so, in saying that, we need to live with God today. Let Him do the worrying. And let's just follow Him and make Him priority one. Right? Got it? Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us, God, to deal with something that we have such a great difficulty dealing with, and that's Your teachings in the Bible on worry. Help us to trust You more. Place our faith in You exquisitely and make You a priority in our lives, knowing that You're going to take care of the rest. Guide us every day, we pray. Lord, I pray if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision or to rededicate their life to You or to become a member of the church, and most importantly, to trust You as Savior. So, Father, we lift up this time of invitation to You, and I pray that if You've touched somebody's life in here today, Lord, that they'll make that known by coming down to greet me up front. In Jesus' name, amen.